We're holding your days on an Aleph by the Mishnah. Halacha Dalad. Mishnah says, Hamakdish Nechasov, if a person was makdish all of his possessions to the Beis Mikdash, good morning, Ali. If a person is makdish all of his Nechasim to the Beis Mikdash, your days on an Aleph, the top. Now, normally, when a person is makdish to the Beis Mikdash, without specifying, it means to bedek abayis. Now, you had things among his possessions, and we'll see in the Gemara actually whether it means all of the possessions or not, that are, well, actually, that's going to be the next part, really. There are things in it suitable for the Korbanos Tzibur, and we'll see in the Gemara which Korban Tzibur we're talking about. So Rabbi Akiva says what we do is we give those things to the workers as their pay. We learned in the previous Mishnah about you have the workers, for example, the ones who make the Torah, who have to be paid. So now the thing is like this. On the one hand, these things were given to Bedek Abayis. On the other hand, now you have like this. On the one hand, things that are going to be used for the Korbanos have to come from Trumas Alishka. So we can't transfer them from Bedek Abayis to Trumas Alishka just like that. On the other hand, we can't just say, fine, we'll sell those things, because we have a rule that anything that's roi to go on the Mizbeach has to go on, that somebody was makdish, has to go on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Akiva says what we do is we give those things, we give the actual item itself, like I was going to say, we're talking about keturis, to the workers as their pay, and then we buy it back from them with money from the Trumas Alishka. The point is that Rabbi Akiva holds that the point is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva holds that you're able to be mechalal, you're able to be poida hektish on labor. We talked about this yesterday. Do you need to be poida hektish on labor, or can you be poida on labor, or does it need to be that the thing that you're transferring it to, that you're transferring this kedusha to, has to be an actual tangible object? So Rabbi Akiva holds you're able to do it. Rabbi Akiva holds the Gemara brings in Tmura from a pasuk that says, "But also li mikdash that mishali," meaning in other words that the construction of the Beis Mikdash can be made from things without kod, which are kodshim. So he says, therefore, that that's what you do. You give this, for example, we're talking to the Gemara, that we're talking about Tertus over here. So you give the Tertus itself to the workers to pay them, and then you buy it back from them with Truma Chadasha. A Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Amalei Ben Azai Eina Hi Hamida. But Ben Azai tells him, that's not the same way as you did in the previous Mishnah. We said in the previous Mishnah that when you have leftover keturis from the end of the year, then we said you don't just give it to the workers. We said you have to first be mechalalit on, money that the gizborim have. Then you give the keturis to the workers. Then you buy it back from them, etc. Why over here, all of a sudden, are you just saying that you give the keturis directly to them? Now, there's a couple of reasons why Rabbi Akiva would in fact make that distinction. One of them is that because last year we were talking about something that was bought with Trumas Alishka, that it was bought with the Matzah Shekel coins after all. So therefore, in order to get it, that now we're going to be able to use it for Bedek Abayis, then we first have to be poda it. On the other hand, over here, it never was part of Trumas Alishka in the first place. It was donated by an individual. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds that we can be more lenient and just give it to them directly. But Ben Azai is disagreeing. There's a sugya on this in Masechta Shavuos, which discusses our Mishnah, and Tosfos over there gives a couple other answers why Rabbi Akiva would make this distinction. Another point Tosfos makes over there is that in the previous Mishnah we were talking about we have to pay them specifically with Truma Chadasha, and there we're talking about the Keturis that was bought with last year's money, and therefore we need that whole detailed process that we said in the previous Mishnah, whereas here we don't, here we're not dealing with that. Anyway, but Ben Azai disagrees and says it's not consistent. You're being inconsistent. You're being inconsistent with how it was in the previous Mishnah. Ella, so Ben Azai says you have to do the same as in the previous Mishnah. You have to separate out from these things that the person was machdish, an amount equal to the amount we have to pay the workers, or mechallel oisin al moisel min, we're mechallel those things on the money that we're going to need to, that money that we're going to be paying with which we're going to be paying the workers, which we talked about yesterday, that money itself became cholin because they traded it for they traded it in for construction that was done in the Beis Mikdash, for actual construction that was done, and therefore the construction became kodesh and the money became cholin. So now they have cholin money available. So they're mechallel this ketores then that the person donated that he had in his possession on that money which is now cholin. Now the money become now and now the ketores So now the ketores is now cholin. We give that ketores to the umnin, to the workers, as their payment. And then we buy it back from them using truma chadasha, using this year's truma sadishka. So according to Ben Azai, and again, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Ben Azai's basic reason is because he holds that to be mechalal hekdesh, it has to be on something tangible, and their labor, their work for the Beis Mikdash, is not something tangible, therefore you need to be mechalal it on keteris. Therefore you need to be mechalal it on money, you need to be mechalal the keteris on money, and only then can you give it to them and then buy it back from them. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Hamakdish Nechasav, another case where a person is makdish all of his possessions, Vahoyu Behen Behema Ru'uya Agabe Mizbeach, and it turned out that among them were animals that are roy to be brought on the Mizbeach, Schorim Unakevis, there are male animals and female animals. Now we're going to see in the Gemara whether we mean that all of his Nechasim is these animals, or whether we mean that these animals are only part of his Nechasim. Okay. So what do we do with them? Rabbi Akiva says the male animals we sell to people who need them for karbonis oila, and then they will end up bringing them as oilas. On the kevas yimachru l'tzorchei zivchei shlomim, the female animals we sell to people who need shlomim, because a shlomim can be a male or a female, but an oila can only be male. And then those, together with all the other nechassim, go to Bedek Abayis. So the guy was makdish, let's say, the guy was makdish $1,000 worth of property. Among them are $100 worth of animals. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying $900 of his property immediately goes to Bedek Abayis. The other 100, which constitutes these animals, we sell them first to people who need them for oilus and for shlomim, and then we take the money, the $100 that we receive from them, and apply it towards Bedek HaBayis as well. Again, the reason being because of this rule that we said before, that any time you have an animal which is roi to go on the Mizbeach, then it has to, or any object that's roi to go on the Mizbeach, then it has to go on the Mizbeach. Eina yotzi midei Mizbeach la'olam is the expression, so therefore it has to be brought on the Mizbeach, so therefore you're going to have to sell it to people who need them for karbonis. You can't just bring them as the karbonis tzibur themselves, because they're not karbonis tzibur, they came from the yochid, and they're through Bedek HaBayis, and ultimately the money needs to go, ultimately the money needs to go to Bedek HaBayis. By the way, I mean, really, you're not allowed to be makdish an animal that's a tomim to Bedek HaBayis at all. If you're going to be makdish an animal that's a tomim, the Gemara teaches in a few places that you have to be makdish it as a korban. But this time here, we're talking about the person was over on that. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says no. You don't have to sell the animals that are the male animals to people who need oilus. You could just bring the male animals as oilus directly. The point is, we're going to see in the Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer holds that when the person was makdish, we assume that he was makdish everything for the same purpose, for Bedek HaBayis. Therefore, the value of these animals has to go to Bedek HaBayis. How do we accomplish that? By selling them to people who need them for korbanos, and then using the money for Bedek HaBayis. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua holds that no, we can say the person's meant to split up his donation. Whatever can go directly on the Mizbeach he had in mind is going to go directly to the Mizbeach. So it had no Kedushas Bedek HaBayis in the first place. That whatever can't go on the Mizbeach he had in mind for Bedek HaBayis. So Rabbi Yeshua therefore says that the male animals can be brought directly as a korban. They're not even brought as a korban tzibur. They're brought as his own korbanos aveva. On the kavis, as far as the females, I agree that those yimachru l'tzorchei zivcha shlamim, those have to be sold to people who need animals for shlamim. But yavi b'dmein oilus, and then but then unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who said that the value of them is going to go to Bedek Abayis, he says the value of them is also going to go towards bringing oilus for this person. Ushar nechassim yiplul Bedek Abayis, and the rest of the nechassim go to Bedek Abayis. So again, in the scenario we had before, Rabbi Yeshua would say the first 900 goes to Bedek Abayis, but the remaining 100 is used for korbanos. For korbanos oila, and the animals that can't be brought as an oila are sold for people who need them as some other kind of korban, and the money is used to bring an oila. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? What Rabbi Eliezer is saying seems to be much more logical than what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. So Rabbi Eliezer, his first midosa, because after all, Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent. He's saying that all of it goes to Bedek Abayis. And by the way, why in Rabbi Yeshua's rule are we saying that all the animals have to end up being oilus? Either they themselves have to be oilus, or the value of them has to be oilus. So one reason is because after all, an oila has more kedusha than a shlamim. So therefore, we would assume, says Rabbi Yeshua, that he meant for them to become oilus, that all of them are going to become oilus, or that the money of them is going to go to oilus. The other reason is Rashi explains in a different place that the reason is because after all, the fact is he was makdish for Bedek Abayis. Rabbi Yeshua is just saying that whatever animals in there that are suitable for korbanos go to korbanos directly. Now, Bedek Abayis is something where people don't have hanaf, and it goes strictly to the repair and the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, what we want to do is we want to have, as much as possible, that the animals over here also should be for a similar purpose. Now here they're going for actual korbanos, Rabbi Yeshua says, but nevertheless, they should at least be the kind of korbanos which are completely burnt on the Mizbeach, not where people eat some of them like a shlamim. And for that matter also the skins of them, so Rigavon says over here that actually the skins of them go to Bedek Abayis, although strictly speaking, actually what it was is we learned in Tzachim, originally they went to the Koyanim only when they were powerful Koyanim who were grabbing them for themselves, grabbing more than their fair shares, where they makdish them for Bedek Abayis. Anyway, the point is though that on Oila there's much more of it that goes to the Beis HaMikdash exclusively rather than a Shlomim. And therefore, that's another reason to say that here we should be making them oilus. Anyway, so Amar Rabbi Akiva, Royan is Divir Rabbi Yazim and Divir Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Akiva says, I find more logical what Rabbi Eliezer is saying than what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. So Rabbi Eliezer hishfas midosa, because Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent. He's saying that everything sam hektish lebedek abayis, he's applying across the board to all of these nechassim, including the animals, and he's saying therefore the value of them ends up having to go to bedek abayis, and we accomplish that by selling them to people who need korbanos. But Rabbi Yeshua chilek, whereas Rabbi Yeshua is differentiating and saying that some of them go to bedek abayis and some of them are directly to korbanos. Amr Apapias, but Apapias says actually it's not necessarily machlokas. Shamaitias divrei shnehen. I heard from my rebbeim like both of them that there are actually cases where we'd go like Rabbi Eliezer and cases where we'd go like Rabbi Yeshua. Namely, hamakdish beferush kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer, that if somebody is makdish beferush, then we would go like Rabbi Eliezer. So what's Beferush? So Tiklin Chadzin says over here that Beferush would mean that he mentions specifically, he singles out the animals. He says, I'm machdish my animals and all my other nechos. So then the fact that he mentioned the animals specifically, then it's more logical to say like Rabbi Eliezer, and like this, he's already mentioning the animals. He could have said the animals should go for korbanos and everything else should go for Bedek Abayis. The fact that he didn't means that he wants all of them to go for Bedek Abayis, Reb Papias says. That's when we would say, like Reb Eliezer. The Rambam has a different explanation, that Hamakdash Beferush means what he said Beferush, that everything is going to Bedek Abayis, versus when he's Makdash Stam and didn't say one way or the other Bedek Abayis or not. Whereas if he's makdish stam without specifying, according to Tiklin Chadatin, that he just says all my nechassim. According to the Rambam, that he says, according to the Rambam, that he says everything should be hektish without specifying what kind of hektish. Then Rav Papya says kedivrei Rav Yeshua. Then we would go like Rav Yeshua and differentiate and say the animals become korbanos and everything else goes to Berakah Bais. Okay. Another case, hamakdish nechassav. What if a person is makdish his possessions? V'hoye ben dvorim ru'uyim l'gabim his beach, and there were things among his nechassim that are suitable, other things that are suitable to go on the mizbeach, namely yenis shmonim v'oifus. There's wine, there's wine and oil and birds, all of which can be brought, all of those can be brought as korbanos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what you do is you sell all of those things to people who need that kind of object. The yavi b'dmein oilus, and you bring oilus with the value of them. Oshar nachos yiplul betekabayis, and then the rest of it goes to betekabayis. Now over here, Rabbi Eliezer seems to be saying, like Rabbi Yeshua before, that as much as possible, we need the value to go to oilus. So why is that? So the Rambam brings a reason in order to differentiate. The Rambam says the difference is that these things that we just mentioned, Yenis, Shmonim, and Oifus, the rule with them is once they have Kedushas HaGuf, then you're not able to be poyed to them. If they develop a mum or become spoiled or whatever, then you can't be poyed to them once they have Kedushas HaGuf. On the other hand, animals, even after they have Kedushas HaGuf, if they develop a mum, you can be poyed to them, therefore there'd be a reason, therefore he says there'd be a reason for Rabbi Eliezer to differentiate and say that with these, you have to use the value of them for oilus, basically to guarantee that the value of them should go to something of hektish, of the besnichtash, whereas when it comes to animals, you don't need to do that. You're just able to give them to Bet HaKabayis, which in turn will sell them to people who need karbonis, and if they develop a mum, fine, the same thing. We can also be poured to them and bring the money to Bet HaKabayis. On the other hand, the Ravid disagrees, and then the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on that. And the Noisa Kalim over there, the Kesef Mishnah, the Radvaz in particular, say that maybe in our Mishnah, the Girsa, maybe in this part of the Mishnah, the Girsa is not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Lozer. So it's a different opinion. So Rabbi Lozer is following Rabbi Yeshua's view earlier in the Mishnah that as much as possible they have to go towards korbanos. So therefore, in this case also, we need to take these birds or wine or whatever and sell them to people who need them for korbanos and then use the money to buy others. So the Gemara starts off. So we said we had the first case of the Mishnah where a person was makdish in the chasim and there are things in there that are suitable for the korbanos tzibur. So what things are we talking about? Now, we already mentioned later on in the Mishnah, we mentioned animals, we mentioned birds, we mentioned wine, we mentioned oil. So what else is there? What else is there? And also, the fact that the Mishnah uses the expression that there are things that are roi the korbanos tzibur. Later on in the Mishnah, we just have things that are roi agabe mizbeach, animals, wine, etc., are roi agabe mizbeach. But in the first part of the Mishnah, we said specifically something that's roi for korbanos tzibur. So what would that be? Rabbi Yechanan Omer Amar Ketores. So Rabbi Yechanan says that refers to Ketores, the person that Ketores in his possession. Because, now one thing is, first of all, by elimination, that's the only other thing that could be brought as a korban that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Second of all, also the fact that it says the korbanos tzibur implies specifically that it has to be Keturis, because everything else could just as well be brought as a korban yochid. Now, we learned yesterday, we learned the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel about whether the Keturis has to be made in the Besmikdash, in a Kli Sharis or not. Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds, as we said there, that a private person could make Keturis and then give it to the Tzibur. Or actually, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we said it over there. So therefore, you can have that a person has Keturis. But Amar Rav Hoshea tifter b'umen mishal beis avtinas sheyin noto b'scharek toras. But Rav Hoshea says you don't even need that. You could explain in order to fa'enfer. In order we had Rav Yosi b'chanina And we had Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina on yet that we learned in the Gemara yesterday, and you had Aleph Amud Beis who said that a private person can't make Tertus. It has to be made in the Beth Mikdash, or else it's possible. And we said that Shmuel holds like that also. So how would they understand the Mishnah? So Rabbi Hoshea is saying you can explain on a Mishnah, but Uman Mishal Beis Avtinus, that you're talking about the person who is Makdash his possessions, is one of the craftsmen from Beis Avtinus, the ones who make the k'turis. So you know, to the schorik k'turis, they get k'turis as part of their wages, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that we mechal all the k'turis and we give them the k'turis as their pay, and then we buy it back from them and they get their pay that way. So therefore, suppose that in between, during that, while that whole procedure was going on, suppose that he was makdish his possessions, then he has k'turis in his possession. Because again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Shmuel and according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, it wouldn't work otherwise, because if the person made Tertus privately, then it would be possible. Actually, the Bavli in Krisus gives a different explanation, that we're not talking about that. We're talking about that the person has ingredients of Tertus in his possession. Next, we said in the Mishnah that Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai argue what you do with this k'turis that was in this person's possession, where Rabbi Akiva said you give it directly to the workers and then you buy it back from them, and Ben Azai said no, you first have to mechalal it on cholin money, and only then can you give that k'turis to them. So ma taima de Ben Azai. So why does Ben Azai hold that? Why does Ben Azai hold that you need to do the whole longer procedure? So he says, Sheina hektish, Meschal ala malacha, el ala mois. Ben Azai holds that you cannot be Meschal hektish on work, on labor. You have to do it specifically on money. There has to be a tangible thing that you're Meschal the hektish on. So you can't just give it to them and say, this is to pay for your work, and then we're going to buy it back from you with Truma Chadasha. We have to first be mechalal it, then we can give it to you, then we can buy it back. Next. Taman Tanena. Now we're gonna discuss a Mishnah from Masechta Tmura that's gonna relate back to our Mishnah. Taman Tanena, we're gonna use it to explain Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's Shittis in our Mishnah. Again, so in the second part of our Mishnah, we have the case where a person is makdish his property. Among them are animals that are roi to go on the Mizbeach. So we said, Rabbi Eliezer says that the value of them has to go to Bedek Abayis. Therefore, what we have to do is sell these animals. We have to sell these animals to people who need them for korbanos. Again, we do have to eventually use them for korbanos, because being that they're tmimim, they have to be used as korbanos. In a yotzim idem is beach la'olam, the person is makdish a tamim animal to bedek abayis, it ends up having to go onto the mizbeach. So we have to make sure they're brought as korbanos, but the value of them goes to bedek abayis. That was Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua had said that the person never meant to be makdish them to bedek abayis. He meant to be makdish them directly as his own personal korbanos. Therefore, we do that, and everything else goes to bedek abayis. So the Gemara says, Taman Tanenan. We learn in a Mishnah in Tmura that relates to this. Yesh b'kodshe bedek abayis. The Mishnah is discussing over there how you have, there are chumras and kulus in hektish bedek abayis over hektish mizbeach and vice versa. There's things that are donated to bedek abayis where the value of them is going to be used towards the repair of the Bais HaMikdash, and then you have hektish mizbeach, things that are going to be brought as korbanos. So the Mishnah is discussing over there that you have differences. You have kulus and chumras in each one over the other. So, shastamek deshes lebedek abayis. Now, when a person says, I'm being makdish without specifying, then it goes to bedek abayis. So in that sense, there's a chumrah in bedek abayis over mizbeach. And also, bedek abayis chal al akol. Also, hektish bedek abayis can be chal on anything. Hektish mizbeach, you can only be makdish things that could go on a mizbeach. Animals, birds, wine, etc. Whereas hektish bedek abayis, you can be makdish anything. And if bedek abayis needs that thing directly, let's say you makdish a stone and they need it for building, then they'll use it directly. And if not, then they're going to sell it and use the money towards bedek abayis. Another point is umoylan begidulayan. Me'ila applies even to things that grow from them, meaning let's say you're makdish a tree, then the branches that grow out of that tree later are also hektish. We talked about that in Psachim. And also the Envan Anoyala Koyanim and the Koyanim get no benefit out of it, because unlike Korbanos, where the Koyanim get something out of it, even Olus, which are completely burnt on the Mizbeach, they still get the skins, or at least that's how it was originally, until you have the Koyanim Bali Zroya. And most Korbanos, of course, they get some of the meat. But when it comes to Hektish Betekabayas, they don't get anything. Now, so the point is, we said in that Mishnah, Stamech Deshes, Lebedek Abayas, so which of the Tanoim in our Mishnah is that like? Amar Abchananya, Rabbi Eliezer. That must be specifically according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanena, namely, we learned in our Mishnah. Hamachdish Nechosav, Behoisabah and Behemer Ruya, Gabi Amazbech Schorim and Akavis, that if it was Machdish's possessions and among them are animals that are suitable to go on the Mizbeach, whether males or females. So we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimus Schorim Yimachal Lotzorcha Oilus, that the Schorim we sell for people who need Korbanos Oila, and they bring them as an Oila. On a Kavis, Yimachal Lotzorcha Zivcha Shlomim, the females we sell to people who need Shlomim, Udmein Yiploim Shana Chosim Lebedek Abayis, and the value of them together with the rest of the Chosim goes to Bedek Abayis. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that even though he was Machdish Stam and didn't say one way or the other, then nevertheless it all goes to Bedek Abayis, and that means the value of these animals, that means these animals are to be sold to people who need Korbanos, and to people who need those types of Korbanos, and then the money goes to Bedek Abayis. So that would be specific. So that Mishnah in Tmura that says Stamach Dish Bedek Abayis would be specifically according to Rabbi Yezir. Now, in our Mishnah, we say Rav Papia saying that there can be a difference between a Machdish Beferish and a Machdish Stam, but that's Rav Papia and his Rebbe's how they learned it. Rabbi Yezir would hold that across the board, always we say it goes to Bedek Abayis, whether he said Stam or whether he specified. Unless, of course, if he specified that the animals go to the Mizbeach, then of course they go to the Mizbeach. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Taima de Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yechanan says, why does Rabbi Eliezer say that everything goes to Bedek Abayis? Because the Pasuk says, the Ish ki Yachdish is based on Kodesh Lashem. The Pasuk describes a case, if a person is Machdish his house to Hashem, then we say that the Koyan evaluates how much it's worth, and then the person can be Poydeh from Hechdish. So he said, B'ma Anan Kaimin. What's the scenario that we're talking about over here? What's the scenario that we're talking about over here what is the pasuk talking about? Is it literally talking about a person who's Machdish's house? So Kent Kvarksiv, the next pasuk already says, V'imam Machdish Yigala Spacer. The next pasuk says, if the one who made it Hechdish redeems his house. Now, why does it have to repeat? Why does it have to repeat the word his house? The second pasuk should say, V'imam Machdish Yigal Oisai, or something like that. So what it means is Ela Kianan Taimin Mamakdish Nechosav. So therefore the first pasuk is actually talking about where he's Makdish not his house but his property. The same way as we find this sometimes in the word, it's sometimes in Tanakh, the word bias doesn't mean a house literally, it means a household, it means everything that's in the house. For example, you know, we say in Halal, we're saying these days in Halal, Beis Yisrael, Yomuna Beis Aaron, Yomuna Beis Yisrael, Kiladam Chasa doesn't mean the house, it means the household. You have other examples like that also. So, the Pasuk, when it says, V'ish Kiyakdash is Beis Soy, Kodesh Lashem, Rabbi Eliezer is understanding that it means not his house per se, but it means his possessions that are in his house. And the Pasuk says, So therefore we see that Stam Hektish goes to Bedek Abayis. Because the Pasuk actually continues with the words Kodesh Lashem, the Hagoyis Agrua puts those words into the Gemara over here. So we see Kodesh Lashem implies the Bedek Abayis. So therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, you see from that, that when a person is Machdish Beisoy, the possessions of his house, then they're all Kodesh Lashem, then they all go to Bedek Abayis. None of it goes to the Mizbeach. So again, because there are animals that are Tomim, they do have to go on the Mizbeach, but we accomplish that by selling them to people who need them for Korbanos and then using the money towards Bedek Abayis. And by the way, I mean, why are we calling Bedek Abayis Kodesh Lashem? Because, like we said before, Bedek Abayis goes completely to Hashem. None of it goes to the Kohenim. So therefore, Kodesh Lashem refers more to that. Okay. Fine. So that explains Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Now, Omer Rav Ze'era, Rav Chuna b'shem Rav. So now Rav Ze'era says in the name of Rav Chuna, in the name of Rav, b'ma pligin, when would Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua arguing, b'makdish nechosav, when he's makdish his possessions in general. Alba b'makdish edroi, but what if he's makdish only his animals? Edroi means his flock, so it means his flock of animals that can be brought on the Mizbeach, cows, sheep, and goats. So he's makdish only those. So Rav Ze'era says, "Kol ama moide shuhul mizbeach." Then everybody, even Rav Eliezer, would agree that he never meant to be makdish them to Vedic Abayas at all. That he's makdish them for the mizbeach. So all of them have to go towards Oilus. And again, like we said in the Mishnah, therefore the males can go for Oilus, and the females are sold to people who need shlomim, and the money is used to buy Oilus. Which, by the way, Rav Shlomo Cerulea points out over here that Rav Ze'era is apparently disagreeing with what Rav Hanania said before, because before we brought the Mishnah in Tmura and said that that Mishnah is according to Rav Eliezer, Stam Akdeshus Lebedek Abayis, but here we have a case where it is Stam, and yet it's going to Kobonus, so evidently Rav Ze'era disagrees with Rav Hanania's explanation. So that's one way of understanding. That's one way of understanding the machlokes. That if the person was makdish is nechosim, where the rest of his nechosim definitely go to Bedek Abayis. So now the question is, what about the animals? Then Rabbi Eliezer is saying they also go to Bedek Abayis, or the value of them goes to Bedek Abayis, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that not. But if he was makdish only the animals, then everybody would agree that it goes to Korbanos. That's Rabbi Ze'era's version. Rabba Rav Chuna b'shem Rav. On the other hand, Rabba says in the name of Rav Chuna, also in the name of Rav, ma pligim b'makdish edroi. No, the other way around. When are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua arguing? Only if he's makdish as animals. Avo b'makdish nechosav, but if he's makdish as nechosim in general, kol amamodei shul the bedek abayis. Then everybody would agree that everything has to go to bedek abayis. Because after all, since the other nechosim are definitely going to Bedek Abayis, then even Rabbi Eliezer would have to agree that the animals do too. Which would mean, by the way, in the Mishnah, when we use the expression v'hoyu bahen, v'hoyu bahen behem ruya gabim zbeach, according to the Buzz explanation, it wouldn't be bahen, because it would really be that all of them are what's roy gabim zbeach. And he would say that is where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue and say that when it was only the animals, that would be when they argue that Rabbi Eliezer is still saying that Stam Hekdash Bedek Abayis, therefore the animals were meant for Bedek Abayis, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to argue and say that it means that they go to the Mizbeach. But if it was Makdash, all is Nechosim, where there all of his Nechosim include things that are not Roya, Gabi Mizbeach, then even Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabba, would have to agree that they don't go directly for Korbanos. They go for Korbanos, but the money of them, the value of them, has to go to Bedek Abayis. So the Gemara says, "Al daita de Rav Ze'era nicha." Now we can understand according to Rav Ze'era, but the kasha al Rabba. But we have to ask a question on Rabba's understanding that when he was makdish only his animals, at still Rabbi Yeshua would be saying that still Rabbi Eliezer would be saying that the value of them goes to Bedek Abayis. Why behema loylam is beachi? Don't animal behema loylam is beachi? Aren't animals meant for the mizbeach? So why would Rabbi Eliezer be saying that they should go to Bedek Abayis like any other nechosim? The fact is, they're animals. They're by default they're meant to be korbanos. So why according to the Ba, he was makdish only as animals? Why would we say that? According to the Ba, we said that if he was makdish everything, then that all of his nechosim then goes to Bedek Abayis. But the fact is, among his nechosim there are animals. So why should we assume that he meant those animals or their value to go to Bedek Abayis, where after all animals usually go to the mizbeach? Why should we assume, in other words, that he's doing two different kinds of hekdish, one for the mizbeach and one for Bedek Abayis? So the Gemara answers, yeah, behema lo mizbeachi. Yes, animals do go to the mizbeach. The lama sasama ishazeh. But why? What we have to figure logically: why would this person have not specified what he plans to do? means shukoyim lo yeh elod berik habayis. It means that he wants to say that everything is that everything is going to be that everything is going to be going to the mizbe is going to be going to berik habayis. So again, according to the ba, if he was makdish only his animals, even then Rabbi Yeshua would say that he means to be machdish them to the Mizbeach, and Rabbi Eliezer would say that that's when he says that's when he means Bedek HaBayis, because Rabbi Eliezer would say the fact that he did it Stam without specifying means Stam Hektish Bedek HaBayis, like we said before, therefore it goes to Bedek HaBayis. But on the other hand, if it was machdish all his Nechasim, again, the fact is he could have singled out the animals and said to do something differently with them, and the fact that he didn't, Rabba says, means that even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that they go towards Bedek HaBayis and not direct and not only towards Karbanos. Okay. But then we had Rabbi Zeira say distinguishing between whether he was makdish all of his possessions versus just his animals. We had Rabbi Zeira saying that the machloikus in the Mishnah is when he was makdish all of his nechasim. We had Rabba saying that it's that the machloikus is when he was makdish only his animals. And now a third opinion, Rabbi Yechanan amaloi shanya. Rabbi Yechanan says there's no difference. He a makdish nechasim, he a makdish edrei, he a machloikus. The same machloikus is whether he was makdish only his animals or all of his nechasim. Either way, the machloikus is the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer would hold that as much as possible, that Rabbi Yeshua would hold that as much as possible that can go directly towards Karbanos does that, and the rest goes to Bedek HaBayis, and Rabbi Eliezer says everything goes to Bedek HaBayis. Now, we said before, Rabbi Yechanan had explained Rabbi Eliezer's shita based on a pasuk. So therefore, now the pasuk is not differentiating whether he was makdish all of his possessions or just his animals. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan is following his opinion, is being consistent with his opinion that he's learning from that pasuk. Rabba is not learning Rabbi Eliezer's opinion from that pasuk. Rabba apparently is just learning what Rabbi Eliezer and what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were saying based on logic. So he's able to differentiate between what the person could have said versus what he actually said. Okay. The Gemara continues. So now we're gonna talk about. So we talked about in the Mishnah, we have the case where a person was machdish animals. We said that we sell these animals now. Okay, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't sell them. We just bring them directly as korbanos. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it said actually that the female animals we do sell and we use the money to buy oilus. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, both the male and the female animals are sold and we use the money towards Bedek HaBayis. So now let's talk more about that. So now let's consider what the situation is with these animals. So these animals were, the person was makdish them. According to Rabbi Eliezer, let's talk about, they went to Bedek HaBayis. Now we're saying we're selling them. The pashtus, they're still tamimim at this point. They're still suitable to be brought as korbanos. Now we're selling them to people who need them as oilus or shlomim respectively. And the value goes to Bedek HaBayis. What actually happens to those animals after we do that? Meaning, in other words, do we say that they become now completely chulin, or do we say that they still retain kedusha because they were once kaddish? So Rav Abba b'shem Rav Abahu b'shem Rav Acha, Rav Chuna b'shem Rav Rav Abahu b'shem Rav Abahu b'shem Rav Yechanan, kodesh bedek habayis shepoydon tmimim. These animals of kodesh bedek habayis, if you redeem them when they were still tamim, they hadn't yet developed the mum. Again, we said before, you're really not allowed to do that in the first place, but let's say you did. Yotzul chulin, then those animals become completely chulin now. You're even able to, now normally you have kodshim, let's say kodshim that developed a mum, and you're poi to them, so they become chulin, you're allowed to shech them and eat them wherever you want. But usually there are still restrictions on them. You're still not allowed to use the milk of them. You're still not allowed to shear them and use the wool. Here we're saying, here, Rav and Rabbi Yechanan are saying that because they were only kodesh bedek habayis, not kodesh mizbeach, therefore when you pour to them, even they're still tamim, then they become completely chulin, and you're even allowed to use the wool and the milk. So the Gemara says masnisa omer kein. In fact, we have a Mishnah that says like that. Although Tikkun Chazitin explains that we're going to be bringing up, that we're bringing this Mishnah as a proof to what we just said. On the other hand, Korban Eda says that it's a question. So let's learn what that Mishnah says, and then we'll explain how it is both ways. So the Mishnah, that Mishnah says, Vlodon v'chelbon mutala acha pidyonon. The Mishnah is talking about over there about animals that were bali mumim, that you redeem, the Mishnah says over there that there were animals of, the Mishnah says that again, if you have kodesh mizbeach, that were balei mumim. Well, so the Mishnah differentiates over there like this. You have animals that were balei mum before you were makdish them, and then you have animals that were balei mumim after you were makdish them, so that you were makdish them when they were tam, and then they developed the mum. The Mishnah says that if they had a mum before you were machdish them, so then they only had kedushas domim, they never had kedushas aguf. Therefore, when you poted them, vlodon v'chalavon mutal acha pidyonon, their babies and their milk are mutter after you poted them. So according to Tiklun Chadatin, the reason that we're bringing this as a proof, even though here we're talking about tmimim, because here we're talking about animals that only have kedushas domim because they were originally donated, according to Eliezer, to Bedek Abayis. On the other hand, Tiflin Chadatin says the Gemara is asking it as a question. There we say that if it's a Baal Mum, then the Vlodon and that their babies and the milk are mutter. But here we're talking about an animal that's a Tomim, so what kind of a proof is that? So it's a proof according to Tiflin Chadatin, but a proof based on the fact that both of them are Kedushas Domim, and a question according to Tiflin Chadatin, and a question according to Kirk. Because they were saying it's only Bali Mum, and here we're talking about Tmim. So the Gemara says, Rav Chizkiya b'shem Rav Chizda, Tifta shepdon Tmimim v'humim. You have to explain that Mishnah that it's talking about where you were poda the animal and when it was Tomim, and then afterwards it developed a Mum. So when we say that the Yotze L'Chulin, now it's true at the time of Pidyon, they were Chulin, but nevertheless, now that they developed the Mum, they were only Kedushas Bedek Abayis in the first place. Then therefore we're able to be lenient about it and say that we can use the milk and the wool of it. So in other words, he's saying it's true that this animal was a tumim originally, and it's true when you were poided it was still the tumim. But on the other hand, the fact is again, it was only Bedek Abayis in the first place, and you were poided, so therefore now it becomes completely mutter. But if you only had one of those factors, then we would still say that the milk and the wool are usur. That's basically according to Korban Eda. Tiklun Chadatin explains that the difference is that no, we're talking about that they had a mum before you were poyed to them. Here that we're talking about Bedek Abayis, and even if they have a mum before you were poyed to them, but not if you appointed them when they were still tmimim. So he explains that actually we're talking about that. So he explains that actually Hagoyes Hagrua changes the girsa over here, that we're talking about that they developed a mum and then you appointed them, the opposite of the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying that these animals that were given to Bedek Abayis, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when we're poyed to them, then they become completely chulin, even as far as the milk and the babies and the wool and whatever. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, on the face of it, we're talking about no matter what. Then Rabbi Chizkiya is telling us that we're talking about when they developed the mum. Whether we mean they developed the mum before or after the pidyon is what Korban Eda and Tiklun Chadatin are arguing about. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Chista. Rabbi Yosef points out in the name of Rabbi Chista another proof for what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Masnisa Omrakein. Not for what Rabbi Yochanan is saying really, but for what Rav Chizkiya is saying, that there's a difference whether they develop the mum or not, because the Mishnah says v'lodin v'chalavan also la'acha pidyonon. The Mishnah says over there that in the case of an animal that was where you were makdish it when it was tamim and then it developed a mum, Oh, actually, no. This part is actually referring to the Mishnah in Tmura that we said before, that there's a difference between Kodshe Bedek HaBayis and Kodshe Mizbeach, where we said that with Kodshe Mizbeach, even if they were poured to them, the milk and the wool, the milk and the babies still remain also, as opposed to Kodshe Bedek HaBayis. So we see that Kodshe Bedek HaBayis, you're able to be poured to them, and they become completely mutter if they have a mum like Reb Chizkiya said. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Where are we? Reb Chizkiya b'shem Reb Yosa. Another Reb Chizkiya is saying basically the same thing as Rav and Reb Yechanan, that Kodshe Bedek HaBayis, if you appointed them when they were still Tomim, Yotzel L'Cholin, they go completely out to Cholin, and he says, I can prove it. Before we were saying we have proofs from Mishnayos, he says, I can prove it logically as well. Ein Tema Lo Yotzel L'Cholin, because if you were to argue that they don't go out L'Cholin, and that they still have some level of kedusha. Heyach kodesh mizbeach, cholin on kodesh bedek habayis. Then how would the kedusha of mizbeach be able to take effect on top of the kedusha of bedek habayis? You can't just change one thing to another. So like this, we're saying Rabbi Eliezer was saying you take these animals that he was machdish. Eventually, the value of them has to go to bedek habayis. But we're saying we sell the animals to people who need them for karbonis. And then we use those for karbonis. So now, how would that work if there was still some kedusha of bedek habayis left on them? So necessarily, we have to say that the kedusha of bedek habayis goes away completely. So the next line of the Gemara, it's really not clear if it's a continuation of that statement or is it a new statement. The Korban Eda, for example, learns that it's actually a new statement. But fine, Reb Chizkiya brought his proof that necessarily these animals have to become completely cholin. And then the Gemara makes another statement about when we say that Kodesh Mizbeach. Well, so here, let's learn the Gemara. Bali Mumin Kodesh Mizbeach Chol Aleihen. Now, when Reb Chizkiya is saying when Rav Chizkiya at the top of the Amud is saying in the name of Rav Chizkiya that the animal has to have a mum before it becomes mutter, again, because it was Kodshe Bedek HaBayis and it has a mum, therefore it becomes mutter, it becomes completely cholin after you put it, and you can even use the milk and you can even use the wool. So Rav Chizkiya is saying Kodshe Mizbeach Chol Aleihen, that Kodshe Mizbeach actually is chal on them, at least Dirabonon. So Lida Milsa, regarding what? The giz of Avoda, as far as shewing them and as far as working with them. So again, according to Korban Eda, this is a separate statement. We're saying that if a person was Makdish Bale Mumin, the Mizbeach, so he's not allowed to, according to Korban Eda, this is a different case than before. Before we were talking about, he was Makdish Tmimim, then they developed the Mum, then he was poured to them, now we're saying what happens if it was Makdish Abal Mum to begin with, on his Beach, which is also to do, but nevertheless what happens, and he says that Kodesh Mizbeach chal aleihen, and that nevertheless a certain degree of Kodesh Mizbeach is chal on them, Lida Milsa, regarding what? The Gizol Avoda, that even after you poured to them, you're not allowed to shear them, and you're not allowed to work with them. Had it been Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, it would have been Mutter, but because it was Kodesh Mizbeach, even though he was also to be Makdish Abal Mum, nevertheless he's not allowed to. That's how Korban Eda explains it, that it's a separate statement. Tiklun Chadzitin actually explains, the problem is he doesn't really explain clearly, that this is actually a continuation of what the Gemara said, what the Gemara had said before, that Reb Chizkiya was saying, you have a proof that Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, that you were poyder, become completely cholin, because otherwise how are you able to turn around and make those animals back into Kodesh Mizbeach? After all, if they still have some Kedusha Bedek HaBayis, then how do we make them Kodesh Mizbeach? Satiklin Chadatin sort of explains, although it doesn't really explain clearly, that what we're saying is even those animals, even after they develop a mum, midaraisa, we would say that they're completely cholin, and you can shear them and you can work with them or whatever. But midrabanan kodesh mizbeach cholale, and they still have kodesh mizbeach on them. Midrabanan lida milsa legizav avoda, as far as that you still can't shear, as far as you still can't shear them and you still can't work with them or use their milk, etc. There's a bunch of other different explanations. One of the Pirushim on Masech Shkolim is called Talmud Harav Shmuel Bar Shneir. Rav Shmuel Bar Shneir was one of the Rishonim, one of the Bali Atos. This is Talmud wrote a Pirush on Shkolim, and here you have a note over here which he says comes from Rav Shmuel Bar Shneir himself that explains our Gemara that says that when we use the word Bali Mumin, we mean that what the Gemara is saying is that these animals, yes, they need to become bale mumin in order to be poyed to them, they need to be bale mumin, but nevertheless midrabanan kodesh mizbeach chol aleihem legizav avoda. It's kind of forced. It's kind of a shverikait to fit it into the words of the Gemara, but that's how it is. Okay. Fine. So the bottom line is we have Rav and Rabbi Yechonon telling us that these animals that he was makdish to Bedek Abayis become hektish Bedek Abayis, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, we need to sell them to people who need them for Karbonis, and those people are going to use them for Karbonis, and the money will go to Bedek Abayis. Now we're saying the animals themselves, if they're still Tmimim, so on the face of it, Rav and Rabbi Yechonon are saying that even if they're Tmimim, you can still be poyed to them. We have Rav Chista telling us that they have to develop a mum. They have to develop a mum in order to be completely cholin. Maybe the mum can even be after you appoint to them, depending on the different mafoshim over here. But only then do they become completely mutter. And Rav Chista is actually saying, at least according to our last explanation that we said, that maybe even they still have kedusha d'rabbanan. Again, according to Korban Eder's explanation, we don't need that. The Bali Mumim is a new case where a person was makdish Bali Mumim to the Mizbeach. Okay. Fine. So now we're gonna quote a Braisa, which is also talking about this matter of being makdish animals and what happens with those animals as far as Korbanus, and we're gonna relate it back to our mission. So Braisa says, Hifrish nekeva lo'ilosoi ulapischo la'ashamai, if a person designated a female animal as an oila or a korban pesach or an asham, now all of those korbanas have to be female animals, have to be male animals, so what do you do with a female animal? So the question basically is, do they have any degree of kedusha in order to? Since in our Mishnah we mentioned the distinction between male and female animals, so we're bringing this thing in over here, and also we're going to relate it back to our Mishnah. So hifrish nekeva lo'ilosoi ulapischo la'asham, if a person designated a female animal as an oila or pesach or asham, oisa tmura, it still has enough kedusha that then if you make a tmura with it, then that tmura is effective. Tmura wouldn't work with kodesh bedek abayis, only kodesh mizbeach. So therefore, in other words, even though this animal is not actually being brought on the mizbeach, it's still considered to have enough kedusha to make a tmura. Reb Shimon omer lo ilosei oseh tmura. Reb Shimon distinguishes that no, if he designated a female animal for an oila, then it can create a tmura. It's strong enough. The kedusha of it is strong enough to create a tmura for reasons that we're going to explain soon in the Gemara. Lepischo la'ashama in his tmura, but not if he designated it as a pesach or an asher. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda had a version. He says in the name of Reb Shimon. So his version of what Reb Shimon says was that no, if he designated a female animal for any of those three, then it doesn't make a tmura. So Reb Yechanan says, what's Reb Shimon's reasoning? Why does he say that? Why does he say that there's a difference between an oila and other korbanos? Because we see that a female bird is kosher to come as an oila. So therefore, so we see, in other words, there is a certain connection between being female and being an ola. So therefore, he says, even though the female animal itself can't be, it's an animal, it can't be brought as an oila, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon is going to say that it still has enough kedusha to be able to make a tmura, but not a pesach or a chatas, where a pesach or a chatas always have to be male animals. There's no such thing as a female, there's no such thing as a female chatas or a female osha. The Amr of Yechanan, also Rabbi Yechanan says, time under Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. Now, what's Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's reason? Why does Reb Shimon ben Yehuda say that none of them, not the Oila, not the Pesach, and not if he designated as an Oila, or Pesach or an Asham, none of them do we say that a female animal has any kedusha to the extent of being able to create a tamura, that it doesn't have kedusha like goof at all, in other words. So the reason is, because Reb Shimon ben Yehuda would say, if we see that we make a distinction between the same kind of animal, which we're going to say in a minute what that means, and still we say that there's a distinction, how much more so where it's a different min? In other words, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, even within sheep itself, even within rams itself, there's a difference how, or even within sheep themselves, there's a difference how old the animal is as far as whether it can be brought as a certain kind of carbon or not. So if you can even differentiate like that, how much more so where you're talking different kinds, male versus females, then we would say that it doesn't have kedushas like this. Ezo min b'minishu cholokol. What do we mean that there's a distinction within min b'minay? Kahadda, the tani. Like what we learn in a Mishnah, in Tamura, Asham ben Shana, if a person is supposed to be bringing, now you have those six kinds of Asham, you say every morning in davening, Asham Zelus, Asham Melus, etc. Of those six, some of them have to be a sheep within its first year. For example, the Asham Nozer and Asham Metzora have to be that. Many of the other kinds, the Asham Zelus, Asham Melus, have to instead be a ram, which is in its second year. So the Mishnah says, Osham ben Shana Vehevi ben Shtaim. If a person was supposed to be bringing an Osham that was within its first year, Vehevi ben Shtaim, and instead he brought an animal that is within its second year. So the Gersa we have in front of us over here is Yotza, that he is Yotza, meaning obviously he's not Yotza, the actual korban he had to brought, but to bring, but Yotza in the sense that it is a kosher korban. But a bunch of the Mephoshim over here, Korban Eda and Tiftim Chazatin, all say that it means, all say that it's supposed to be, that it's supposed to be Lo Yotza. That he's not Yotza, because, he brought an animal that's not the right kind. He's supposed to be bringing, for his Hashem Nazir or Hashem Metzora, he's supposed to be bringing an animal in its first year, and he brought one in its second year. Next, Ben Shtayim behavi Ben Shalosh, but if he was supposed to bring an animal in its second year, for example, for an Asham Gzelus, and instead he brought an animal in its third year, Lo Yotza, and he's not Yotza. Actually, some of the Rishonim say over here, the distinction is that they would say, again, Yotza and Lo Yotza, they would say means that the korban is kosher versus the korban is posel, and they would say the distinction is, at least, for example, he brought an animal, an animal in its second year for Hashem Nazir, fine, it's not kosher for that purpose, but at least it is kosher as a korban in other contexts, namely for an Hashem Gzelus or Hashem Neilus. But if he brought an animal in its third year, which is not kosher for any of them, then we would say it's not even a kosher to korban. Anyway, there again, Korban Eder changes the Girsa and says by both of them he's not Yotze. Reb Shimon Omer Kol Atman Einu Kedoshim. And Reb Shimon says, the animal does not have any Kedosha at all. So what are we talking about in these cases? You're talking about 1 year old versus 2 years old, or two versus three, and still Reb Shimon is saying that the animal has no kedusha at all. So therefore, says Reb Shimon Yehuda, taking from that if we're distinguishing even between the different ages of the animal itself, how much more so we need to distinguish between male and female. So therefore, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda would say that Reb Shimon's opinion is that even an oila, even if you designated a female as an oila, we're not going to say this kind of thing. We said before, yeah, but a female bird can be brought as an oila. Fact is, this isn't a bird. The fact is, it's the wrong gender of animal. And if we're saying that even the wrong age of animal is no good and it has no conditions like growth according to Reb Shimon, then how much more so if it's the wrong gender? Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So now the Gemara says. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, Shneim Amru Davar Echad. What Rabbi Shimon is saying in that Mishnah that we just quoted is the same as what Rabbi Yeshua is saying in our Mishnah, which is how we're relating it back to our Mishnah. Kimad Rabbi Yeshua Amar Nekevel Oila like Kodesh Ela Hekdesh Damim. Rabbi Yeshua is saying. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that if you machdish a female animal as an oila, it has only kedushas damim, and therefore, Rabbi Yeshua had said in the Mishnah that what do? We have to sell the animal to somebody who needs it for shlamim, and we use the money to buy an oila. So the same way as that, the same way Rabbi Shimon is saying that it only has kedushas damim and it doesn't have kedushas aguf. How do we see the connection? In tema kodshak kedushas aguf, because in the case of our Mishnah, if Rabbi Yeshua held that you were makdish this female animal as an oila, and we were to say that it has kedushas aguf, then you couldn't say that you sell it to somebody who needs it for a shlamim. You can't change an oila into a shlamim. What you would have to say is, You should have to leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you could sell it and use the money to buy an oila. The fact that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say you have to do that, the fact that he says you can just directly sell it to somebody who needs it as a shlomim and use the money to buy an oila, shows that he holds that it never had just the goof of an oila. And the only reason we're bringing it as a korban is because the person was machdish it and ani yotzim dem mizbeach la'olam. It has to go on the mizbeach, but not because it dushes a guf as an oila. So that's the same thing. Rabbi Yechanan says that's the same thing as what Rabbi Shimon would say. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rebbe, royani as dibir Rabbi Shimon bePesach. Shema Hekdesh. Rebbe says, I can see, actually, so we have the Girsa in front of us as Ani Roya, but actually all the Mephoshim over here say that it's supposed to be Ein Ani Roya. Ein Ani Roya is Divir of Shimon Pesach, Shema Hekdesh. I don't accept what Rabbi Shimon is saying about a female, in the case of a female animal that was designated as a Pesach. I can accept what he's saying as far as an Ola, because again, a female bird can be brought as an Ola. I can accept maybe what he says as far as an Osham, because fine, a female animal can't be brought as an Osham, but we would say it has no kedusha, but I can't agree with what he says that if you designated a female as a Pesach, that it can't make a tmura, because after all, shamoisa Pesach mo shlamim, because after all, a Pesach has a direct connection with a shlamim, because a leftover Pesach, as we learned in Masechet Pesachim, and as we learned earlier in our Masechta, is brought as a shlamim, and a shlamim can be a female animal. So therefore, there is a reason to say that this female animal that he designated as a Pesach, it does have a connection with Shlamim. So if we say the person was Machdish, the animal as a Pesach, really what it should be is, in effect, it becomes a Shlamim, or not really a full Shlamim, but a semi-Shlamim, then at least, okay, so we would say maybe you have to be Oiker it in order to make it a Shlamim, maybe you have to wait till it develops a Mum and sell it and buy a Shlamim. How can Rav Shimon just say that it has no Kedusha at all? And that it shouldn't even be able to make a Tmura. So the Gemara says, okay, then we understand why Rebbe is arguing with Reb Shimon about the Pesach. Well, by the same logic, you could ask the same thing then. An Osham is connected with an Ola, because when you have a leftover animal of an Osham, let's say, for example, you have an animal that was supposed to be an Osham, you were supposed to bring it, it got lost, then you brought a different one instead, then you found the original animal, then we say that you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and buy an oila. So we see that there's a connection between an osham and an oila as well. So why doesn't Rebbe disagree on an osham as well because of the connection with oila? So the answer is, Rab Ovin says, Im hikdish Pesach mo shlomim, gufay korib shlomim, because the difference is, if you machdish an animal as a Pesach, and the animal is not brought as a korban Pesach, then it itself is brought as a shlomim. So in this case over here, Rebbe is saying, the fact is, if you were machdish a female animal as a Pesach, why is Rav Shimon saying it has no kedusha at all? Bring it as a shlomim, or sell it and use the money towards a shlomim. Because after all, a female animal itself, a female animal can be brought as a shlomim, and an animal that was designated as a Pesach itself can become a shlomim. As opposed to an oila, im hikdish osham ba oila, ain't gufay kor of oila. Sure, if you, true, if you makdish an animal as an osham and it can't be used as an osham, then the money is used to buy an oila. But the animal itself is not used as an oila. So therefore, there's reason for Rebbe to distinguish and say I can accept what Reb Shimon is saying regarding an osham, but not regarding a korban pesach. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mahu kidun. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line on this machloikas? Meaning the korban eda says, what is the machloikas between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon? What's the underlying machloikas between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon? And then Tikvan Chazitin explains differently that the question is, what is the argument between Rebbe and Reb Shimon? What's the underlying argument between Rebbe and Reb Shimon? Hahein omer hektish domin kodesh or hektish. One says that we assume the person meant to give it only kedushas domin, and therefore it doesn't make a tumura. Hahein omer hektish gufay kodesh or hektish. The other one says he did mean for it to have kedushas guf, and therefore it has kedushas guf to the extent where it could make a tumura. In other words, if we understand the Gemara is talking about the machloikas of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon, then we would say that in all three cases, that we would say that in the case of an Ola, the Chachamim would say he did mean for it to have kedusha zaguf, therefore it can make a tamura. Fine, you can't bring it as an Ola, but you can sell it, you can wait till it develops some mum, and then sell it and use the money for an Ola, whereas Reb Shimon would disagree. The other way around, sorry, Reb Shimon would say as far as a Pesach or an Osham, that it has no Kedushas Aguf, because we assume that he meant just Kedushas Domim. And the Chachamim would say in all cases, he meant Kedushas Aguf, therefore it means that we're going to have to wait till they develop a Mum, and then sell them and use the money. If we say, like Tikkun Chazitin does, that it's talking about the Machloikas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon, then we're referring specifically to the Pesach. Yes, it's true a Pesach itself can be brought as a Shlomim, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon is saying, since it was a female animal, he meant to only be Makdish Kedushas Domim, and therefore it has no Kedushas Aguf, and therefore Reb Shimon would say it doesn't make a Tumura, whereas Rebbe would disagree and say the fact of the matter is, we do assume that he meant for it to have Kedushas Aguf, and therefore it can make a tumura, and therefore you would have to wait till it develops a mum and sell it and use it to buy a shlum. Getting back now to our Mishnah, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shimon Lokish, time of the Rabbi Yeshua. So what is Rabbi Yeshua's reason that, again, we said in the Mishnah that we're talking about the person who was makdish all of his possessions, or we said according to the above, we're talking about even him was makdish only his animals, and we said the male animals we bring directly as oilus, the female animals we sell to people who need oilus, and we use the value, we sell them to people who need shlomim, rather, and we use the value to bring oilus. So the Gemara says, Reb Zeir, Reb Shem, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Taima de Reb Yeshua, what's Reb Yeshua's reason that he says that they, why oilus specifically, why specifically oilus? Because the pasuk says, "Daber al Aaron al Bana ve Elko Bnei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem." Speak to Aaron and his sons and all Bnei Yisrael and tell them, "Ish me Beis Yisrael v'goymer." Any person from Beis Yisrael who wants to bring a korban, Ashayakrivu. Actually, it says in the pasuk, "Lashem la'oila," that they offer to Hashem as an oila, which implies a cold coat of oila, which implies that anything that a person is makdish, meaning in a case like this where he's makdish, obviously we don't mean a person is makdish a shlomim, it's the word of a shlomim, not an oila, but we mean in this kind of case, we're talking about he was makdish his property without specifying what's what, then we assume it all goes for oilas. But then the next positive continues, Lutzonchem Tomim Zocher, the next positive continues that it has to be, for to be favorable for you, that Hashem should accept your korban, it has to be tamim zohar. So that sounds like it's talking only about tzchorim. Min zohar. Minayin afilu nekeves. How would we know, says Rabbi Yeshua, that the same rule applies even to female animals? Tamad lema babakar. So the pasuk continues mentioning babakar, baksavim, babizim, among the cattle, the sheep or the goats. That comes to include the word cattle, the word bakar, means to include female animals as well. So therefore, female animals as well, then we assume that it has Kedushas Oila, and again, what that means is not complete Kedushas Oila, otherwise they'd have to, otherwise we'd have to wait till they develop a mum. As we said before, once you pour to them, then they do become cholin again, now you can bring them as a shlamim, but the money of them has to go towards an oila, based on that word babakar. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Be'er Rabbi Eliezer asks, what's going on over here? Ksiv Zachar, first the pasuk says Zachar va'at amr babakar l'rabas sanakevus. You're telling me the word babakar comes to include the females as well. Why? Don't say Zachar. Don't say babakar. Why say anything at all? And then why say Zachar and then have to use the word bakar to include the nakevus? Better to just not say anything and automatically it would mean both kinds. And similarly, ksiv tamim va'atamet babakar l'rabas balim mumim. And it also, for example, we're saying the pasuk says tamim, and nevertheless we're saying that a balim mum also has kedushas damim. So again, why is the pasuk mentioning tamim and then having to mention another word from which we learn that the same thing applies to balim mumim? So why does the pasuk need to specify it at all? That's according to Korban Eder. According to Tikkun Chadatin, the question is the Gemara continues Ma Beinehon. What is the difference between them? So according to Korban Eder, according to him, there's two separate things over here. Rabbi Yitzchok Be'er Eliezer is asking, why does the pasuk, if we're saying that ultimately we're including females, why say Zachar and then have to say Babakar? If you're saying that we're including Bali Mumim, why say Tomim and then have to have Babakar to include Bali Mumim? Just don't say anything at all. And then Ma Beinehon would be a new question. According to Tiklun Chadatin, it's all part of the same question. Given that the pasuk says Zachar and we're saying we're including females, and it says Tomim and we're using the word Babakar to include Bali Mumim, then why is Rabbi Yeshua differentiating and saying that with female animals, we sell them to people who need korbanos, but Bali Mumim, we say we don't sell to people who need korbanos, we just give the money directly to Berek Abayis, without using them to buy korbanos. So why? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar shifted to Kadka de Benehon. The difference between them is like a weaver's stick. Which means, it's a stick that the weaver uses to bang on the, when he has the loom set up, he bangs sometimes on the threads in order to get them to separate, in order to get them to lie parallel to each other. So in other words, Rav is saying, just like that, separates things, there's a big difference. So according to Korban Eder, it's like this. He explains Ma Beinehon means what's the machloikas between Rav Papias and Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva had said in the Mishnah, I don't understand why Rav Yeshua is saying that you differentiate between things that go to Berek Abayis and things that go to the Mizbeach. On the face of it, everything should go to Berek Abayis, like Rav Eliezer says. And then Rav Papias says there's a difference whether he's Makdish Stam or Beferush. So Rav is saying there's a big difference because when he was Makdish Beferush means he said explicitly Berek Abayis. Like we said before, how the Rambam learned the Mishnah. So therefore, so that would be a reason to say that we should go like Rabbi Eliezer and say that everything needs to go to Berek Abayis. But if he's Machdash Stam, then you're going to go according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva would hold Stam Machdash for Berek Abayis, so therefore he says I have to accept Rabbi Eliezer across the board. Because even if he didn't say Beferush, just because he said Stam is reason enough it should go to Berek Abayis. So there's a big difference. Or Korban Eder says another way around. This stick actually brings together the threads. It puts them next to each other where they should be. So it means that really Rav Papias and Rav Akiva are not so far apart in their arguing. Even Rav Akiva maybe would agree that if there's a difference between Beferush and Stam. That's how Korban Eder learns it. Tiklun Chadatin learns it like this. What we're saying is, again, the question is within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, why is he saying that female animals are sold to people who need animals for shlomim, and then the money is used to buy oilas, whereas if a person was makdish bali mumim, then we would use the money directly for bedek abayis. The difference is, there's a very obvious difference. The difference is, that at least that we can include females in the word babahema and say, therefore, that they should be sold to people who need them for korbanos, because after all, you can use female animals for certain kinds of korbanos. You can use them for shlamim, for example. As opposed to bale mumim, you can't use as korbanos at all. So therefore, there's a good obvious reason. I don't even need to specify what the reason is. It should be very obvious to you that there's a difference between a female animal and a bale mumim, that a female animal can be brought as a different kind of korban, whereas a bale mumim cannot. And therefore, we would say a female animal is sold to somebody who needs it for a korban, and the money goes towards an oila, whereas a bal mum is sold to somebody, and the money is used for bedek habayis. Also, Tikkun Chavitin points out another thing. Since we have the word babakar, so we have over here a pratu klal. We have a prat zohar and then a klal, which includes the kavis as well, and therefore we can include that they all have the kedusha of oila. Whereas when it comes to balei mumim, then we have the pasuk continues kol hashaboy mum lo sakrivu. So then it's not a klal. Then it's not a prat klal anymore. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.